الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. We're continuing with our book from our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadahu Allah, Makharijun min al-Fitan, or Ways of Escaping the Fitna. And we come to the next chapter, Tamanna al-Maut, Khashyat al-Fitna, or Desiring Death out of Fear of Fitna. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال احتبس علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات غداة عن صلاة الصبح حتى كنا نتراءى قرن الشمس فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سريعا فثوب بالصلاة وصلى وتجوز في صلاته فلما سلم قال كما أنتم على مصافكم ثم أقبل إلينا فقال إني سأحدثكم ما حبسني عنكم الغداء إني قمت من الليل فصليت ما قدر لي فنعست في صلاتي حتى استيقظت فإذا أنا بربي عز وجل في أحسن صورة فقال يا محمد أتدري فيما يختصم الملأ الأعلى قلت لا أدري يا ربي قال يا محمد فيما يختصم الملأ الأعلى قلت لا أدري يا ربي قلت لا أدري ربي فرأيته وضع كفه بين كتفي حتى وجدت برد أنامله بين صدري فتجلى لي كل شيء وعرفت فقال يا محمد فيما يختصم الملأ الأعلى قلت في الكفارات قال وما الكفارات قلت نقل الأقدام إلى الجماعات وجلوس في المساجد بعد الصلاة وإسباغ الوضوء عند الكريهات قال وما الدرجات قلت إطعام الطعام ولين الكلام والصلاة والناس نيام قال سل قلت اللهم إني أسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لي وترحمني وإذا أردت فتنة في قوم فتوفني غير مفتون وأسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربني إلى حبك. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنها حق فادرسوها وتعلموها. إسناده صحيح، أخرجه أحمد والترمذي. This hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that we start our night's class off, I wanted to take this hadith and to make it a lecture in itself, and then I thought that we would just shorten it by presenting it here with the book of our Shaykh Hafidhahullah. And maybe at another time we might go into a more lengthy discussion of this hadith because of its importance. On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was kept away from us one morning from the Salatul Fajr or the Salatul Subh until we started looking, until each one of us started looking, thinking that the sun would rise. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was late that morning, that they thought that Salatul Fajr might be over with before he came out to lead the Salat, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out very quickly. And then they made the Iqamah for the Salat, and he made the Salat, and he was very short in making his Salat. Then he salamed out, and he said, "Stay in your ranks just like you are." Then he faced us and he said, "Indeed, I will narrate to you what prevented me from coming to the Salat this morning. I stood up at night and I made the Salat of what was decreed for me to make. And then I fell asleep while I was making Salat until I woke up, and there I was with my Lord Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic, in the best form." Then he said, "O Muhammad, do you know why the group on high is debating or differing, or about what the group on high is differing?" I said, "I don't know, O my Lord." He said, "O Muhammad, do you know why the group on high is differing?" I said, "I don't know, my Lord." So I saw him place his hand between my shoulder blades, or between my two shoulders, until I felt the coldness of his fingers between my chest. And then everything was made clear to me so that I knew it. So he said, "O Muhammad, why are the people on high differing?" Referring to the angels. What are they differing about in their discussion? So I said, "They're differing about the kaffarat, or the atonements." So he said, "And what is the atonements?" I said, "Walking to the jama'at," or it says carrying your feet to the jama'at, to the jama'at, to the jama'at. I think that's supposed to be jama'at, or the jumu'at. This means going to the, walking to the salat in congregation, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intends by his statement. And sitting in the masjids after the salat. That means you come to the masjid and you make the salat. And why are you in the masjid now? You're just hanging around in the masjid after salat, reading the Quran, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving salams to the believers and meeting the brothers, or like that. And perfecting the wudu when it's difficult, meaning when it's cold outside. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and favored us that even when it's cold outside, we have hot water and heat. But this is not the case for everybody around the world. That when it's cold outside, the water is cold and it's difficult in making the wudu. And here the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning that all of these things are the atonement for the sins. Meaning if we commit a sin or act of disobedience, what do we do to atone for those sins? Or what do we do to have those sins wiped away? You walk to the jama'at, establish the salah and congregation, or you just sit in the masjid like you feel that you haven't been, for lack of better words, being a good Muslim. So you come to the masjid, you establish the salah, and then you just hang out being in the masjid. Nah. And being in the masjid is good, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in other hadith, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. And the best and the most beloved places to Allah are the masjids. And also, making wudu when it's cold outside, that these are atonements for the sins that are committed. So he was asked, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what are the darajat? What are the degrees or the levels of a person's Islam, or degrees that he will be raised in Jannah for his Islam? So I said, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, feeding and speaking with nice speech and making salah while the people are asleep. Meaning these things will raise you in your degrees in Jannah, and this will make you a better Muslim in this world. Meaning if someone feeds the poor, then he's better than the Muslim who does not feed the poor. Or if someone uses nice speech all the time to the Muslims, he doesn't shout or curse or is rough with the people, then this makes him a better Muslim than the next Muslim. And this will make his level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah better or higher than the next Muslim. And making salat when the people are asleep, as this time a person is more sincere in his salat. And as we were mentioning in the other class, that this enables and allows the Muslim to reflect and contemplate and concentrate on his salat more so. When we don't have, like we have now, children are running around and playing or whatever, that time everyone is asleep and a person can concentrate on his salat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask. I said, O Allah, I ask you for good actions and to leave off bad actions and to love the poor and to forgive me and to show mercy on me, and that if you want the fitna of a people, then take my soul without being tested. And I ask you for the love of you and the love of the one who loves you and the love of deeds that will get me closer to loving you. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, this is the truth, so study it and teach it. And this is authentically collected by Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dua, and this is the part that the Shaykh is bringing this hadith to focus on, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want, meaning, O Allah, if you want or intend a fitna for a group of people to test and try a people, then take my soul without being tested. And this is what the Shaykh is intending with his chapter, desiring death for fear of fitna. And this is, as some of the ulama, they explain, that if that fitna comes, it might drive you away from Islam until you commit shirk. And it's better to die on Islam than to be tested with a fitna that might take you away from Islam. Like we tell the brothers sometimes who are incarcerated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on the Muslims, when they say, inshallah, we'll be getting out of jail at such and such of a time. And you say that you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you firm on your deen wherever you are. Because maybe where you are now practicing Islam, even though you're incarcerated, might be better for you than the so-called freedom that might be your test to drive you away from Islam. And how many times have we seen that, or other cases? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fitna that will chase us from this deen of al-Islam, to take our souls without being tested. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua. Some of the ulama, they explained the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, this dua, and I ask you for your love. Meaning, I ask you, O Allah, to love you, or I'm asking you, O Allah, to love me. Now, and both of these are the same in one way or another, that we should love Allah more than we love our own souls and our family and everyone. And we should love Allah more than we love those who call us to disobedience to Allah. And if we love Allah, then we will follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we were mentioning that ayat earlier today in the khutbah, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Naam. So asking Allah for His love, meaning that we love Allah, would mean that we would be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in fact, if you love a person, then you are obedient to the one who you love. And to have Allah love you would mean the same thing, that you're obedient to Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves His believing, obedient servants. As we were mentioning earlier in the khutbah, in the statement of Allah ta'ala, which means, and whoever desires to have Allah pleased with him, then let him work righteous deeds and not ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. And the love of the one who loves you, and this is to be in good company. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Allah ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful. And to be with those people who are truthful, meaning that they would encourage you to do acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will earn you the love of Allah. Meaning if Allah blesses you with the love of the one who loves Allah, then He would call you to doing what's right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other ayat, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to patience. Or like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and work together with each other on righteousness and fearing Allah. Or like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, المرء على دين خليله, وفي رواية الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith that a person is on the deen of his close friend, so look at who you take as your close friend. And Allahu ta'ala a'lam. And I ask you for the love of actions that will make me closer to loving you. And we had mentioned that this was the way of the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam oftentimes, that he would say the same thing three times. And that's only showing the emphasis of it, as we were just mentioning in the case of making the dua al-istiftah, when we make the salat. Allahumma ghsil khatayaya bithalji wal bilma'i wa thalji wal baradi. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam, O Allah, cleanse me of my sins with water and ice and sleep. And this is all the same thing, but there is an emphasis on it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. And here the Messenger alayhi wasallam, he says, this is the truth, so study it and teach it. Meaning this hadith is the truth, so study it and teach it. Or this dua of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth, so study it and then teach it. And that's the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l al-khayrat wa tark al-munkarat wa hubb al-masakin wa antaghfir li wa tarhamani wa idha aradta fitnata qawm wa idha aradta fitnatan fi qawmin fatawaffani ghayra maftun wa as'aluka hubbak wa hubb man yuhibbuk wa hubb 'amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. O Allah, I ask you for the performance of good deeds and the leaving off of bad deeds and loving the poor, and to forgive me and to show mercy on me. And if you want to test a people, then take my soul without being tested. O Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of the one who loves you and the love of actions that will get me closer to loving you. The Shaykh, he says, Hafizahullah, and Maryam alayhi salam, she says, when she realized that the people want to accuse her of adultery or fornication, because she does not have a husband, but she's pregnant and she had delivered her child, Isa ibn Maryam عليهما السلام: يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Maryam said at this time, "Oh, I wish that I would have died before this and I was something that was not even thought about." Meaning when she was delivering the baby and she realized, as the Shaykh said, that people were going to accuse her, that she wished that she was dead instead of having to be tested with delivering Isa alayhi salam and the people accusing her unjustly. وعن محمود بن لبيب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اثنان يكرههما ابن آدم: الموت، والموت خير للمؤمن من الفتنة، ويكره قلة المال، وقلة المال أقل للحساب. And this is authentically collected by Imam Ahmed. ومحمود بن لبيب رضي الله عنه, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are two that the children of Adam dislike: death, and death is better for the believer than fitna. And he dislikes having a little bit of money or a little bit of wealth. And a little bit of wealth is easier on the account. And this is collected by Imam Ahmed. Here the Prophet ﷺ said there's two things, or there's two characteristics that the children of Adam, meaning every human being, he dislikes. Meaning he dislikes these two things, but they're better for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other ayat, أَعْسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps you dislike a thing and it's better for you, or you like a thing and it's no good for you. Death. And death is better for the believer than fitna, or being tested. And we're just given an example, and the example are many. The examples are many, but the fitna is a test that will keep you away from your deen. And anything that would keep you away from your deen, then death is better than being tested away from your deen. I hope that the sisters don't get upset with me, but sometimes us brothers, we got messed up with a no good lady that took us away from our deen. We love her, but she's no good for us. And the more we love her, the farther she pulls us away for our deen. It's better that you die than to have someone or something that's no good from you that pulls you away from your deen. I said, may the sisters excuse me for this example, because we have righteous, believing Muslim women, of which this is not the case. Alhamdulillah. And you dislike having a little bit of money. And a little bit of money is easier on the account. And this sometimes needs no explanation, as we know what we would do for money, and people have done everything for wealth. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it will make it very difficult on them when they meet Allah because of the so many acts of disobedience in the acquisition of wealth. And we're in the times of al-riba, or interest and usury, and how many of the Muslims are involved in this, and they're acquiring the wealth, but it's going to be difficult when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah has prohibited for them al-riba and made permissible for them buying and selling. And may Allah make it easy on the believers. The next chapter, al-firaru min al-fitan, or escaping the fitan, or escaping the tests. Fitna is the singular, and fitan is the plural. Fitna is the singular, and fitan is the plural. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: yushiku an yakuna khayra malil muslimi ghanamun yatba'u biha sha'af al-jibal ومواقع القطر يفر بدينه من الفتن. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood and Nasai and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. Where Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, perhaps that it will soon be the case where the best wealth of a Muslim is sheep that he follows on the mountaintops or in the valleys, running for his deen from the fitan. And this is collected by Bukhari and Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. And here, as some of the ulama, they explain that a Muslim's best wealth would be sheep. And it might be hard for us to imagine with beautiful houses and cars, but this is exactly what's meant, that the believer would leave off what's in the cities of wealth and people and be happy on the mountaintop somewhere with sheep running from his deen. Meaning what would be in the cities with the people is so serious and treacherous that it pulls him away from his deen. And that the only way he can be safe and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly is that he's out on the mountaintop somewhere or in the valleys and he has sheep just living like that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his soul because so much fitna is going on. This is what's meant by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he's running for his deen from the fitna. Meaning the fitna or the test is in his deen. So he's running to save his deen. Nah. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قيل يا رسول الله أي الناس أفضل فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمن يجاهد في سبيل الله بنفسه وماله قالوا ثم من قال مؤمن في شعب من الشعاب يتقي الله ويدعو الناس من شره. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, or what is known as Al-Jama'ah. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that it was said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of the people are best? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a believer fighting jihad fi sabilillah with his life and his wealth. They said, then who? He said, a believer in a valley or in a mountaintop of the mountaintops, fearing Allah, leaving the people because of their evil. And our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Aidawi, hafadhuhullah, he says, commenting on this hadith, this is pertaining to the one who fears for himself from mixing with the people. As far as the one who feels safe that he in fact is able to affect the people instead of them affecting him by advising them and saying a strong word to them, then this hadith does not refer to his case, but it refers to the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من خالط الناس وصبر على أذاهم خير ممن لم يخالط الناس ولم يصبر على أذاهم. Where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever intermingles with the people and is patient on the harm, meaning that he receives from them, then he is better than the one who does not mix with the people and is not patient with their harm. Meaning here, the Shaykh is trying to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer who goes to the mountaintops to fear Allah and to stay away from the evil of the people, this is amongst the best people. But the Shaykh is saying that there's someone even better than them, and the way we know that is from the other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if he's able to deal with the fitna of the people without being chased back from his deen, but rather he's able to have an impact in those difficult times to call the people to the truth, then it's better for him to be patient with his circumstances and to handle the harm that he gets from the people in calling them to what is right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, the point is still valid, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us of what the Shaykh mentions in this chapter title, running because of the fitna, or running away from the fitna. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من خير معاش الناس لهم رجل ممسك عنان فرسه في سبيل الله يطير على متنه كلما سمع هيعة أو فزعة طار عليها يبتغي القتل والموت مظانه، أو رجل في غنيمة في رأس شعفة أو شعفة من هذه الشعف أو بطن واد من هذه الأودية يقيم الصلاة ويؤتي الزكاة ويعبد ربه حتى يأتيه اليقين ليس من الناس إلا في خير. And this is collected by Imam Muslim and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. Wa Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the best wealth of the people is a man who will hold on to the reins of his horse or riding animal fi sabilillah, flying on its back. Meaning that the best provisions or lifestyles is the man who will get on his riding animal to go fight jihad fi sabilillah, flying fast on the back of his riding animal like a bird flies, showing how engaged he is in fighting jihad fi sabilillah. Every time he hears a hay'a, and this is the sound that war, the battle is taking place between the believers and the disbelievers, when he hears the sound that it's on, or he hears a faz'atan, or he hears the sound of the Muslims saying it's time to go. When he hears either of those sounds that the battle is taking place or it's time to go fight, then he jumps on his riding animal, taking off, desiring death or to be killed where the places people are killed. Meaning he hears that people are being killed in such and such of a land for defending Islam, he hurry up to run to that land so he could be killed with those who are killed in defending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen fi sabilillah. Or a man with a few sheep on the mountaintop from amongst these mountaintops, or in a valley from amongst these valleys, he's establishing the salah, paying the zakat, and worshipping his Lord until death overtakes him. لَيْسَ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا فِي خَيْرٍ. Meaning there's no one better than these type of people. And this is collected authentically by Imam Muslim. وَعَنَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَتَكُونُ فِتَنٌ القاعد فيها خير من القائم، والقائم فيها خير من الماشي، والماشي فيها خير من الساعي، من تشرف لها تستشرفه، فمن وجد منها ملجأ أو معاذا فليعذ به. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Also on the authority of him, and you find this statement sometimes when the hadiths are in a row, it says, on the authority of him, radiallahu anhu. It means the one who was just mentioned in the previous hadith. Like in the previous hadith, we said on the authority of Abu Huraira. Then they quote the next hadith, they say, on the authority of him. Meaning Abu Huraira, or the one who previously narrated the hadith. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there will be fitan, different types of tests. The one sitting will be better than the one standing, and the one standing in it will be better than the one walking, and the one walking will be better than the one running. Whoever tasharrafa laha, whoever tries to find out what's happening or to take a deeper look into it without turning away from it, it will drag him in to the fitan. And whoever can find a place of safety or refuge from the fitan, then seek refuge in that place. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just showing that everybody in the times of fitan are not the same. And some people are running away from getting into trouble more so than other people who are trying to get in trouble. As the Prophet ﷺ shows the worst case, the one who's looking to see what's happening. Like for example, he said, every time I go past the corner, people just hanging out. Now I wonder what they're doing over there. Then he goes over there, now he back high again with the people on the corner. Or doing whatever they used to do on the corner. And you say, man, I never knew that corner had any action. I wonder what's going on. You stop, what's up? Next thing you know, you're in it. That's the worst case. The one who's looking into something that's not right until what's not right drags him in. That's the worst case. The best case is the one sitting down. He's the one that's staying the farthest away from it. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, the one sitting is better than the one standing. Alright, sitting, standing, walking, running, looking into it, fell into it. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing that there's different degrees in being close to the fitan. And the Shaykh is using this hadith to show running away from the fitan, that we should be from amongst the people sitting. Or like in some of the cases, other narrations, sleeping, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next statement, the next chapter, قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن. The statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed the سعيد, or the happy one, is the one who has been saved from the fitan. عن المقداد بن الأسود رضي الله عنه قال أيم الله لقد سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن ولمن ابتلي فصبر فواها. This is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic. والمقداد بن الأسود رضي الله عنه, he said, I swear by Allah that indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, indeed the happy one is the one who has been kept away from fitan. Indeed the happy one is the one who has been kept away from fitan. Indeed the happy one is the one who has been kept away from fitan. And whoever has been tested and is patient, then fawaha. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadhuhullah, he says, what is meant here is the amazement of the affair of the one who is tested and he is patient with his test. And the amazement from the magnificent reward with Allah that he is prepared for the one who is patient with the test that he's tried with. It's like he, alayhi salam, was saying, how good and wonderful is the one who was tested and he's patient with his test, and Allah knows best. The Shaykh, he says that this hadith, or in this hadith, there is no encouragement to be tested. Rather, this hadith is discouraging us from being tested and encouraging us to be far away from the test. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praising the one who is being tested and patient. He said, fawaha. And the Shaykh was explaining that statement, fawaha. I don't know if we say like, oh man, or wow, or something like that, showing, or oh, like that. You say something about someone who did something that you're amazed at, then you just make like a sound. That was the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, fawaha. It's just like a sound, a word that's a sound. Oh, wow, like that. Just showing that you're impressed with what has taken place. Also some of the ulama, they explain in this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, indeed the happy one is the one who has been kept away from fitan. As we were showing in some of the early chapters, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to seek refuge in Allah from the fitan, then this is one of the ways to be kept away from the fitan so you can be happy. Like the statement of the men, Allahumma jannabana shaytan wa jannab shaytan ma razaqtana. Oh Allah, keep the shaytan away from us and keep the shaytan away from what you have provided us with. meaning of our children, as the men say this at the time that they have marital relations with their wives, that they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the shaytan away from them. So this is the one who is happy or safe, the one who has been kept away from fitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from the fitan, that which is apparent of it and that which is hidden. The next chapter, Tarku Ard al-Fitan, leaving the land of fitan. And this is from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, anna Nabi Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, كان في من كان قبلكم رجل قتل 99 نفسا فسأل عن أعلم أهل العرض فدل على راهب فأتاه فقال إنه قتل 99 نفسا فهل له من توبة قال لا فقتله فكمل به 100 ثم سأل عن أعلم أهل العرض فدل على رجل عالم فقال إنه قتل 100 نفس فهل له من توبة فقال نعم ومن يحول بينه وبين التوبة انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناسا يعبدون الله فاعبد الله معهم ولا ترجع إلى أرضك فإنها أرض سوء فإنها أرض سوء فإنها أرض فإنها أرض سوء فانطلق حتى إذا نصف الطريق أتاه الموت فاختصمت فيه ملائكة الرحمة وملائكة العذاب فقالت ملائكة الرحمة جاء تائبا مقبلا بقلبه إلى الله وقالت ملائكة العذاب إنه لم يعمل خيرا قط فأتاهم ملك في صورة آدمي فجعلوه بينهم فقال قيسوا ما بين الأرضين فإلى أيتهما كان أدنى فهو له فقاسوه فوجدوه أدنى إلى الأرض التي أراد فقبضته ملائكة الرحمة. This is collected by Imam Muslim. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there was a man from amongst the people who came before you who killed 99 people. Then he asked about the most knowledgeable man on earth, and he was shown to a worshipper. So he went to him and he said, indeed, he killed 99 people. Is there any repentance for him? He said, no. So he killed him and made that 100. And then he asked about the most knowledgeable person on earth, and he was shown to a knowledgeable person. So he said, indeed, he killed 100 people. Is there any repentance for him? He said, yes. And who can stand between you and your repentance? Rather go to land so and so, because indeed, and that land is a people who worship Allah, so worship Allah along with them. And don't return to your land, because indeed it is an evil land. So he left, and when he got halfway in the path to the land he was intending, then death overtook him. So the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment differed concerning his case. So the angels of mercy, they said he came repenting, striving towards Allah, with his heart towards Allah. And the angels of punishment, they said he never did any good before. And then another angel came in the form of a human being, and then they made him the judge between themselves, and he said, measure the distance between the two lands, and whichever land he's closer to, then he would take the verdict of that land. So they measured the lands, and they found him closer to the land of which he had intended. So the angels of mercy took his soul. And we just took a look at this hadith in one of the khutbahs recently. Now, Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadhahullah, he comments as he says in the narration of al-Bukhari, as we said that this hadith was from Sahih Muslim, meaning this was the narration of Imam Muslim, and this hadith is also in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the wording is a little different, as the Shaykh, he mentions the wording of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and other narrations, as he says, that it says, and when death overtook him, he leaned forward with his chest towards the land that he was intending. Meaning he was at the bad land, he was going to the good land. Then he saw he was trying to die, he made an extra effort to try to make it to that righteous land to die in it before he died, even though he didn't make it. And in some of the other narrations it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to this land, come closer, and he revealed to that land, go farther. Meaning when the angels decided that they're going to measure the distance between the two lands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that the person was sincere in his repentance, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the good land, come closer. So when they measure it, it's short. And he told the bad land to go away, so that it would be farther when he measured it. Now, I mean, this is the magnificent mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some of the narrations it says, so he was a hand span or a shibr closer to the land that he intended. Meaning when it was all measured and said and done, that he was this close to the land that he intended over the other land. And then he got the verdict of that. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, as the Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, he says, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, and he's one of the authors of an explanation of Sahih Bukhari, he says, in this hadith, there is the virtue of leaving one land that a person commits disobedience in, and that the common culture or customs of that land is like what he used to do when he was there, or acts of disobedience. Either that land would remind him of what he used to do before, there would be some people in that land that would help him to do what he shouldn't be doing, or something like that, as the Shaykh says, Wallahu A'lam. And in light of that, it was said in the hadith, and don't go back to your land because your land is an evil land. And in that it shows that the one who is repenting, it is necessary for him to leave the conditions of which led him to the fitna that he was in, and to leave that altogether, and to busy himself with other than that. Meaning if a person was in such and such of a city, and he got caught out there in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, alright, he leaves that city, go to another city. Or meaning if he was on that side of the town, he goes to another town. I mean, if he was in that state, he goes to another state. Or if he was in that country, he goes to another country so that he can be with the people who won't remind him or encourage him or help him to do that which would make Allah displeased with him. The Shaykh, he also says in this hadith, there's the virtue of the knowledgeable person over the worshipper. I mean, the one who's simply worshipping, he's a good person, but he might not know all of the verdicts of Allah. But the knowledgeable person, he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's verdicts, and because of that, he not only benefits himself, but he benefits other than himself. Like the worshipper, he only benefits himself. But the knowledgeable person, he benefits himself and the other people, and this is what the Shaykh is saying, Allahu A'lam. He said, and that is because the first one, the worshipper, he gave him the fatwa that there's no repentance. And that's because his case was, he was a righteous man, and he was about the worship of Allah. And he couldn't imagine somebody killed all those people, man. Ain't no way in the world he's going to be forgiven for it, which is not the case. Nah. And because of it, he wound up being killed himself. Nah. In the mix, Wallahu al-Musta'an. As far as the second person, then he had knowledge, so he gave them the correct answer and showed him the path of success. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafadahullah, he says, in this hadith is the virtues of knowledge in the time of fitna, and it is an escape or a way to escape the fitna. Meaning knowledge, when we find ourselves in the times of fitna, that seeking knowledge is good because it will give you the answers to get out of the fitna that you find yourselves in. As Islam has all our answers, but we don't know all of Islam. Islam has all of the answers, but we don't know all of Islam. So we find ourselves in problems, and some of the people, they say out of ignorance, I tried Islam but it didn't work. You didn't know Islam. No. You tried what you knew of Islam, but you weren't sincere, so Allah didn't give you the success. Or you were ignorant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you the success. But as the Shaykh is saying, and as we see here, that knowledge shows the way to the correct path. So if you have knowledge of what is right, then even if you're not blessed to do what's right, you might be rewarded anyway, because you knew what was right and you intended that. As we saw in this case, or we see in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء كل امرئ بما كسب رهين. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, and those who believe and their descendants follow them in belief, we will make their descendants get their reward even though they did not achieve it, and we will not decrease their reward at all, meaning their fathers. And every soul is accountable for what he does. You hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that if our parents are calling us, if our parents were righteous believers in Allah and they got a magnificent reward, and we wanted to follow their way, as we know, we have knowledge that their way is the best way, but we're not able to achieve what they achieved because they were better than us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give us their same reward for knowing that they were on the path that was right and trying to emulate them and follow them in that right path, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah says in this ayah, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in other hadith, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person is with who he loves. And this was because some of the people, they were saying they love Allah and His Messenger, and they love Abu Bakr, and they love Umar, but they said, man, who can practice Islam on the level of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar? Nobody can practice Islam on that level. They were the best of this ummah. But the Prophet ﷺ told them, you are with who you love. Meaning that you love them because of your knowledge that they were on what's right, and that that's what you want to do. Even though Allah didn't give you the success to reach up to that level, you will be rewarded for that level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our reward. I wanted to end with that chapter, but I just wanted to quote one hadith that I keep forgetting to mention before the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Some of the brothers would remind some of our children on Jumu'ah. And then next week or tomorrow evening, inshallah, we'll start with this whole chapter. I want to say this hadith that's on my mind. عن السائب بن يزيد عن أبيه رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يأخذ أحدكم عصا أخي لاعبا أو جادا فمن أخذ عصا أخيه فليردها إليه. This is collected authentically by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmed and Al-Bayhaqi. Where Sa'd ibn Yazid, he narrates on the authority of his father, was Yazid رضي الله عنهما, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't let one of you take the cane of his brother playing or out of seriousness, and whoever takes the cane of his brother, then return it to him. And the Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi rahimahullah, he says, let me save that for tomorrow. I wanted to quote this hadith to show that some of the children, they take the shoes of the people on Jumu'ah. Then the people can't get back to work or whatever, and they're playing. Or some of them might be even serious. They steal the shoes of someone, and that's even worse if you're serious. But whether you're playing or you're serious, both of them are incorrect, and you should turn it back to the people. But Muslims do not play like that. This is the way that the disbelievers play with each other, taking people's things and like that. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm drifting away from our topic a little bit. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, we show where some of the ulama, they explain that the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam teaches us to stay away from everything that would cause hatred and enmity and division in the hearts of the believers. And this is definitely one of the things. Somebody takes something from you, he's playing, you're not playing. Nah, you're not playing. It's yours. If you were to give him permission to take it and break it and do what he wanted with it, you wouldn't have a problem. But when he takes it without your permission, then it causes a problem in the hearts of the believers. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called us to all that is good. This is what we wanted to present from tonight's class, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I don't know if there are any questions or comments on what has been presented this evening. If so, then we can take a few minutes, inshallah ta'ala, to deal with some of that. If there's no questions, then I'll just remind myself and the believers of what we covered, and that was that some... Oh, excuse me. No. The Shaykh Hafizahullah, he explained from this hadith of the man who killed 99 souls, that in that hadith we saw that it was the knowledgeable person who guided him aright. And the Shaykh showed that knowledge is one of the ways of escaping the fitna. The questioner is asking, what type of knowledge is that? Is that the knowledge of the fitna or what? And the knowledge that the Shaykh is referring to is the knowledge of Allah's deen, of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the knowledge that will save you from the fitna. But some of the people have mistakenly understood, and I think this is what led to the question, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that the people, they want to get more knowledge of the fitna. Like if the fitna is going on, well, I want to hear what's said over here and what's said over here and what's said over there and what's said over there, so I can know which side I'm supposed to be on. And the Prophet ﷺ, as we have mentioned in the hadith, he says, when the fitna breaks out, whoever tries to lend an ear to it or to get involved, it snatches him in or pulls him in. Now, he wants to see if quicksand will it sink. And then he jumps in it to see if it sinks. Nah, then he can't get out. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Or like someone, he can't swim, he jumps into the deep end to see if he'll drown. Nah, someone said, if you don't know how to swim and you jump in this water, you'll drown. Let me see. Nah. And then he drowns. But what is meant here, as the Shaykh is showing, is the knowledge of Allah's deen, of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because that knowledge will give you the knowledge of success, as we saw in that hadith. And if we learned it, then it will give us success in our lives too. Like for example, to go back and then back again, inshallah, you say, if someone jumps in the deep end and he doesn't know how to swim, will he drown? Nah. Alright, when he's going to get knowledge, he's not going to jump in to see, getting the knowledge like that. He's going to ask, they're going to tell him cases and this and that, so he understands and he stays away from it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. At any rate, what's meant is to learn knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, because our objective in life is what we have began our khutbah with earlier today in the statement of Allah ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Our purpose in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever breaks out, our objective in life still remains the same, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will help you do that? Learning Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. نعم. If there's no more questions, تفضل. نعم.
In the case of escaping in a situation like you might have your family and they disbelieve you, right? And you know that they are committed to you or they are interested. Well, Allah Ta'ala tells us that not to cut off your ties,
no.
And they are in a state of disbelief, but by the same token, you want to deviate from the fitna.
No.
You know that they are committed.
No.
How do one do that by not, understand what I'm saying? How do you
know? No, I understand.
Not cut off the ties with you, even though you know that, they're committing the fitna.
No. The brother, he's asking, okay, we've been commanded to run from the fitna, but we've also been commanded to keep family ties. Our family is the fitna to many of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our families to Islam. How do you do both of them at the same time? Now, and this is the beauty of Islam, alhamdulillah. Now, this is the beauty of Islam, alhamdulillah, that all of Islam could be practiced, alhamdulillah. All of Islam could be practiced by everyone. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And Allah doesn't burden a soul by beyond its capability. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear Allah as much as you have the ability to do so. Or as Allah ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah wants ease for you and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in some other ayah, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Or it has been detailed to you what is forbidden or haram to you except what you have been driven to by way of necessity. So here we see in these texts that even those things that we have been commanded to do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be easy for us and to do it as much as we could, and that even out of a case of necessity, it might be okay to do something that it's not okay to do if we don't find ourselves in cases of necessity. Alhamdulillah. I just wanted to begin with that to remind myself that Islam is easy. Now to say how we're going to practice both of them. Alright, if your family is a fitna, they're fitna in a particular way. For example, this is an old example, I don't know any new ones right now. Before the lottery system, there used to be the numbers. Now, alright, your family, they run in the numbers. Every time you go to the house, they telling you, go get that number from whatchamacallit, take this number over here, pass those numbers over there, and what have you. Okay, you want to keep family ties in that situation, you call them on the phone. Or you write a letter to them. And you keep family ties by the phone or by the letter, and you don't go there, because when you go there, you're going to get into what you don't have no business getting into. For example, some people might like eating the haram. He might like eating the haram. So every time he goes to his mother's house, his grandmother's house, they feed him the haram. When he walk in and he smell it, he just gotta have it. So what he does is he calls on the phone, he writes a letter, like that. Or he sends his brother, go tell mommy I'm asking about her, how she's doing. Tell her I'm trying to get around there. I've been busy, but I'm always asking about her. And stuff like that. That you keep family ties doesn't mean that you have to be there physically. Nah. Doesn't mean that you have to be there physically. Because just like some people live in Florida and the other family lives in California, you're not going to visit them every day. Nah, you're going to keep in touch by the way you can keep in touch. And the same thing, you might be in the same city, but you might not keep in touch with them every day because they are fitna. So you keep in touch with them like that. But the one who the shaitan has made his evil deeds fair seeming to him, and he says, I have to keep family ties, because he know his family got what he's looking for that's displeasing to Allah in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being of his likes, who the shaitan has led him astray by using an excuse that he's keeping family ties in order to be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like the one who says, I have to visit my cousin. He knows his ex-girl hang out with his cousin. His cousin a girl. You know what I'm saying? Or his cousin a boy. And his cousin's girlfriend hangs out with your old girlfriend. Alright, I'm visiting my cousin. You know me and my cousin hang out. But you know who you might find there at your cousin's house. So you say, I'm keeping family ties. Nah, shaitan whispered to you and made your evil deeds fair seeming. And this is not what's keeping family ties, because Islam, we practice all of Islam and not some of it. and not others, as was the case of the people who went astray before us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to their case, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some of the book and disbelieve in others? That hadith on keeping family ties and those ayat on that, you have to obey that. Those ones to stay away from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, you have to do those. And if you don't know how to make a combination between the two, then you ask the people of knowledge who can help you practice all of those ayat and hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. If there's no questions, before we entertain the questions outside of the topic, I just wanted to quickly review what the Shaykh had covered, and that was that he showed us that it's permissible to desire death instead of being tested with a fitna that will allow us to die in a situation that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he taught us to run away from the fitan. And that is that when the fitna is taking place, to go elsewhere and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanted to add, I didn't add, in light of that, as it took place in one of the hadith, that he would be on a mountaintop of one of those mountaintops or valley from amongst those valleys, establishing the salah, paying the zakat, and worshipping Allah until death overtook him. Many of us, we just come to Islam, we don't know Islam, how to establish the salah, how to pay the zakat, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how are we going to go off somewhere and worship Allah when we don't know how to go off and worship Allah? And there you find some of the people who I've heard saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from their case. They say they're running from the fitna, and here we have no place to run but to kufr. So he runs back to kufr, say that he's running from Islam, and then he finds himself in a worse case. Like for example, some of the people, they say, listen, me and whatchamacallim don't get along at the masjid. Or I don't like the way the sister looks at me when I come to the masjid, or whatever. Okay, I don't go to the masjid anymore. Alright. So somebody sees you, why you don't come to the masjid anymore? I don't get along with so and so, so I ain't coming to the masjid no more. Alright. What the shaitan has whispered to that person made them think that they're running away from the fitna, which we've been encouraged to do. And then they run out. So now on Jumu'ah, instead of being the masjid listening to the khutbah, you at the mall. I have to buy stuff. It's permissible to wear socks. I gotta go to the mall and buy socks. So you go to the mall on Jumu'ah, because that time you would be tied down at the masjid. So you go out. And then you find yourself, when you used to go to the masjid in the morning, you used to go to the masjid, you say, instead of going to the masjid, let me go buy a TV, watch the TV instead of going to the masjid. Then people fitna, at least on the movie, have an enjoyment, whatever the case is. And then you wind up going farther away from your deen. This is the person who does not know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. So the Prophet ﷺ isn't calling us to destruction, he's calling us to success. So that person who's going to stay away from the people is the one who's knowledgeable. And I think I mentioned the case from amongst the ulama. And this was the case of the last of the memorizers, Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah, who died 9/11 Hijra. Things where the fitna was in the Muslim lands at that time. He studied Islam until he was 40 years old. He rolled out, went on a mountain and just wrote books on Islam until he died. And he has a book on almost every subject. We said that some of the ulama say that he was conceited when he made his statement. There's nothing about Islam that I don't know. I know all of the Quran and what every ayat means and its possibility of meaning this and that. I know all of the hadith, authentic, not authentic. I know what they mean. I know the different meanings of them. I know all of the fiqh issues, all of the difference of opinions amongst the scholars. Everything about this religion I know. They said he was conceited in saying that even if he was truthful. No, they said he was conceited in saying it, even though he was truthful, that he probably knew about everything of Islam. That's why they called him the last of the memorizers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy on him. He had other problems, as we all do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and forgive the Shaykh. But at any rate, his case is, he's knowledgeable of Islam. So when he left off to go by himself, people would just come visit him, take his books back to the city. Now, he's just there writing. People will come see him. Any more books, Shaykh? Yeah, here they go.
then they would take those, bring those back to the city and come get books. But he knows, the point I'm trying to make is that he knows how to worship Allah. So he can safeguard himself when he leaves the people, meaning he doesn't need the people. Okay, we don't even know how to make salah. I ain't going to the masjid, man. Joking, I don't know how to act, whatever. I don't get along, I'm going to fight with the brother or something. He doesn't even know how to worship Allah. How is he going to establish a salah? He doesn't know the tashahud and the salah. He doesn't even know Surah Al-Fatiha in the salah. He doesn't know. How is he going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he doesn't know how to worship Allah? Let's not deceive ourselves into saying that we're practicing hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we're leaving off dozens of ayat, establish the salah, pay the zakat, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And then the Shaykh, he showed the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the happy one is the one who has been saved from the fitna, and that this is an encouragement to be away from the fitna, and this also shows the magnificent reward of the one who is tested and is patient. And the Shaykh, he shows us moving to a land away from the fitna, but the land that you're moving to is the land of righteousness, meaning you're going to go to a land where the people are going to teach you Islam and to encourage you to worship Islam, and they practice and establish Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes, sir. يجب عليه أن يمضي في الصلاة يجب عليه نعم أن يستمر في الصلاة. If a person is making a nafila or voluntary salah in the masjid, then the imam comes but the iqama is not made, but it looks like the iqama is about to be made, does the person break his salah and stand up and join the ranks, or does he continue? Instead, he has to continue the salah. Naam. He has to continue the salah. I mean, he can't break his salah because there's no reason to break his salah. However, when the iqamah is made, then that's another case, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "La salat idha uqimat as-salatu illa al-maktuba," that there is no salah when the iqamah is made for the obligatory salah except the obligatory salah. So some of the ulama, they use this hadith to show that once the iqamah is made, there's no more salat anyway. So whoever is making salat is not even really making salat, because the Prophet ﷺ said there's no salat when the iqamah is being made. So what is he doing in the first place? However, others from amongst, in light of that hadith that we just mentioned, and others from amongst the ulama, they say that in fact he should complete his salat until he finishes. And what was meant by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that there's no salat when the iqamah is being made, meaning there's no salat that's a voluntary salat that should begin after the iqamah is made except the compulsory salat. Now, this is the two understandings of the ulama from this hadith, or two understandings from amongst the understandings, but in either of the two cases, that a person before the iqamah is made is still in his salat and he should continue the salat, and the other people should let him make the salat. As maybe the brother is being modest and hinting at, sometimes people see the imam, everybody stand up, and they're kind of like encouraging the people who are finishing off their salat, "Don't you see we're about to make salat?" But if the iqamah isn't being made, then the people should be left alone to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if the iqamah is made, then the people should be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they see to be correct. The positions that we hold Islamically, we hold them because we feel them to be correct in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we take our positions to get closer to Allah ta'ala, not to please the people. And we give the right to the other Muslims to hold whatever positions they see to be correct, so long as they're in accordance with Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with an understanding from amongst the understandings of the scholars of Islam. If there are any other questions that are not related to the topic, maybe we'll take a few minutes for that. If not, then we'll end right here, inshallah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I want to remind myself and the believers that my statement سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, that this is the statement of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he encouraged all of us to say that at the end of a gathering. Not just the one doing the talking, but this is the statement for all of us, that if there was some good in that gathering, that this would be a seal on that good, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, and that if we committed a sin in our gathering, that that statement would be an atonement for our sin. So this isn't just for me, but this is for every Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.